Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
For one reason or another, usually about 5 to 10 minutes before the show starts, my phone starts ringing or texting. Never good news.
No. I've never once been to the studio where somebody's texted you, I got money for you, I got a treat for you, it's you owe money. Creditor left his number. This guy's hustling. Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll give you $4,000 for a horse that used to be worth $11. Okay, sounds good.
What the hell happened the other night while you're melting down throwing vacuum cleaners?
Oh yeah, exactly. Hey, I'd say, well, because we get bad news all the time. Yes, maybe because, that's why.
Exactly.
And by the way, Gabe, it's not a Dyson. It's okay. It's $28 vacuum. It's a mini vac. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not even very good, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
trust me, man. I got absolutely smoked last night.
I'm Gabriel Moretti. He's Cam Stewart, Red Heat and Rage. Game Time Decisions Radio.
Great call on the Capitals, but I threw it all down on the. I go, the Raptors money line.
The Raptors. Can
go. Here we go.
I don't want to start dropping F bombs here, but they can go screw themselves.
They can, man. What a gutless performance in a game that you had to win to extend the series. I've never seen a team tap out, and even at the end of the press conference, Moretti. Cleveland's got our number. Like, you know, like that's a professional athlete. Like, what are you, a kid in the schoolyard? Like, oh my God, just watching these guys almost cry. It's like,
I think the, they have LeBron James and we don't is getting a little old.
I agree.
You know what? I don't mind losing. You can lose the series.
Not like that.
It was absolutely pathetic.
Was it the first time, 49 years, one seed to get swept?
As a hardcore fan, it was hard to watch. I watched until the final moments. Like I said, it's like watching yourself get beat up. It's like, you know, somebody has a videotape of you getting, the crap kicked out of you when you were a kid.
I have one of those. I won the first five matches, though. Yeah, we went to a camp. It was Halliburton Hockey Haven.
Well, you had some sort of fight club.
Yeah, actually, I lost to a guy from New York in the finals. We used to, it was called Fight for Your Bunk because our counselors were psychos. So basically, you'd go up to a guy. We'd have like a round robin kind of Bellator fight, but we were camp kids, and we fist fighted each other, and the guy moved on, and I lost to a guy from Nassau County to get the best bed in the dorm room. Yeah. Great week of hockey there at Halliburton Hockey Haven. What, beat up your roommates.
And it's on film.
These guys are...
Sounds like a great camp they're running
over
there.
They're a bunch of psychos. Mike Gardner was the guest NHLer. Great guy. He didn't know we were killing each other in the cabins. That never got mentioned to him, Gabe. But anyway, maybe the Raptors should get beat up.
Yeah. It's like watching it's like watching your ex-girlfriend have sex on tape.
Ooh, that sounds rough.
Yeah, it's like watching the Raptors play.
You just gave me some instant heartburn there. That when you said that, it just kind of cut thinking, oh, God, that would really hurt.
Yeah. Anal, too.
not missionary.
Yeah, like
the worst kind of sex. S&M. S&M anal.
That's what it was like being in game two. Oh, last night, just beyond bad. But actually, so the same guy actually was saying that Jenny Finch isn't that good. Remember Jenny Finch?
Oh yeah. USA National. She's a chucker.
He's all like, I could hit Jenny Finch. I'm like, you couldn't hit Jenny Finch. I'm like, you couldn't. No, there's no way in hell. So I actually tracked down, and we got to give credit to Orville Bronstetter, actually.
He could track down God.
Yeah, he should be a PI.
That's a great call.
So
he'd be a good sleuth.
We actually.
He knows, like his black book, there's people in the business that know people. Orville, through the years, the black book that he built, like you said, like you used to randomly throw it like a football player you'd like. Gabe, I got him. Like, and I've worked with a lot of guys who. Not even close. Like, he got you, like, five-star dudes
so
all the time.
So he got us the one of the top junior female softball pitchers in Canada.
Oh, yes.
She was basically like a 14, 15-year-old girl, except she was like a little Jenny Finch, man. She threw heat.
Big time.
And He did not get a single hit off of her.
I think he actually had one foul tip. All the rest were straight up whips.
He had a few. He had two or three foul balls, but not like solid shot foul balls, like whiff tips. Yeah, whiff tips off home plate. He one hopped one off the plate type of thing. But yeah, and he looked bad doing it. He looked bad doing it. Now, I remember telling you that I could stop Cassie Campbell from the blue line, 100 out of 100.
I think, you know what? I think that thinking about that, that makes a lot more sense. You doing pads in the goalie. Like, at worst, I think you'd let in one or two.
But that was years ago. And I will state now, some of those chicks on the U.S. women's team, they were teeing it up, Cam. Like, in the old days, let's be real, man. They were butterflies.
Yeah, you could sit there.
They were floaters.
Ding, ding. Touch it in your glove.
They were floaters. You know what I mean? You'd see them coming in. Listen, my uncle played for the Edmonton Oilers and the Quebec Nordiques, but I actually went on the ice against the Oilers. Not Wayne Gretzky, but a bunch of the Oilers. And I was in net, yeah. And they lined up at the blue line.
Like the Lee Fogelin Oilers.
Yeah, like they lined up at the blue line, and they started teeing off slap shots at me.
Yeah.
And most of them were missing the net. You know, and they were shooting at my head and stuff. And I was a kid, Kem. I was like 11 years old, 12 years old. My grandfather was there. And I never forget my grandfather yelling, "He's just a kid. He's just a kid. Hey, hey, stop going for the head." It's like ding, ding, like off the glass behind me. I thought it was so cool.
And that was, yeah. And you said it, though, today. You see the composite sticks, the way things are right now. Like, yeah, those ladies are really teeing it up. It would be
tough. But honestly, like, so... I could pitch, but I wouldn't get through the inning. No, like maybe after like 13 runs are allowed or something like that. But baseball is weird, Cam. It's sort of like Tim Wakefield. You and I can throw it as strong as Tim Wakefield, except he's got more movement on it.
Movement? Gabe, the guy's throwing knucklers, Cam, and stuff. We can't do that.
Cam, it's hard to hit a baseball out of the park that's only thrown 50 miles an hour.
Yes.
So if I'm throwing it as hard as I can, they're lining it. It's going to be hard for them to smoke it because it's like batting practice.
Yeah,
like
I understand.
The home run derby. But when you got the old guy that's just like throwing lame balls in there, it needs to be the right amount of speed.
Listen,
Cam.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this week hit two opposite field home runs off a tee.
I'll tell you what.
Off a tee, Gabe. Not even coming in at like 30, 40. Off a tee. Moving ball.
There's no way in hell I would even want to stand on a mound and throw a pitch.
Are you kidding me?
I get my head taken
off. Guy puts you back a liner right to your... No, in our luck, we get a liner to the melon and like almost die out there.
Like a big league pitcher is actually athletic enough to dodge it. You and I are dead. We're like moose on the middle of the road.
Exactly.
Like, we're done.
I still do believe I could beat Bartolo Colon in a 100-meter dash, though. I will go on record
your
saying
speed
that.
Was impressive, actually. In jeans, too, on a spur of the moment.
In jeans!
I gotta tell you.
I was very fast in high school, Gabe.
I gotta tell you.
I don't want to sound like Al Bundy, but I get around that corner for a few sacks.
I'm gonna tell you, though, that was like the worst and most organized 40 I've ever seen in my life.
I agree. It seemed
I highly questioned their time.
I think it was a 60.
And it wasn't even 40.
It was 55-60. It was way 40. Longer.
They were like, I don't know, we think it's 40. Like,
that is not 40.
It's longer than 40.
I know, because I've ran a 40 before. It was definitely longer. Got to hand it to our old boy, Camera 2, Drew, though. He kind of looks, you know, he's got that face. Hey, guys, but you know what I mean? He can move. He's pretty quick.
He's like 26 years old.
Yeah, we got almost 20 years on him, yeah.
I felt good, but I'm going to be honest. I actually managed to somehow
pull something,
injure
for sure.
My rib/back, Cam, on like the first 10, 20 yards.
You know what the worst was?
I actually injured myself. I pulled like I was sort of hobbling. Yeah. Like I actually got injured running a 40. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I did
I got
too.
Injured.
I remember we came back and go, oh, my leg and back hurts. I had to have a hot shower. I'm like, we only ran it twice. Like that's the thing. We're brutal.
Yeah,
let's just stick to doing this.
It's like when we went golfing, man. I didn't feel good for like 2 weeks.
Oh, I know. I got sunstroke, blisters, tapping out.
If there's, I don't think there's any like one pro sport that we could actually hang.
No, there's not. No.
I think, honestly, my best chance would actually be as an NHL goalie, only because the equipment is so big, and you just sort of get lucky and a puck would hit me. I'd just sort of be there, but, you know, football, I'd get massacred and murdered.
We both played hockey. Like, did you play junior? I played AAA when we were younger, so I got to believe, like, I watch guys on TV. The one thing I have, Morency, is hands. Like, I look and watch a lot of these guys. but they're double or triple as fast skating. Like, I could start from center and they'd catch me at the end. So obviously I can't play. But the one thing that frustrates me about hockey guys now is we used to play street hockey, morning, noon, night, skip school to do it, lie to your parents. You say you're coming home to watch the Flintstones and get food. We'd go, like, play every team in the NHL. You're the Whalers. We're the Nordiques and go through it. Like, I think it's a different training set. Like, you watch guys. Sure, they're amazing and they score, but some guys have really bad hands. Like, it's actually weird. I'm like, man, you'd be good. You skate like the wind, but you can't put the puck in the net.
The level, though, the level to be an
That's
NHL
the thing.
Hockey
That's
player.
The thing. The speed we can't even comprehend.
You need to skate. Like,
we can't even run 40 for a 40. No, what are we going to do? Skate with these guys? Yeah.
It's another level, dude. Like, look at like,
I started at center, Connor McDavid, probably the fastest skater in the league. He'd beat me easily. And I used to play that. Like, yeah, fast.
These are
things we should do.
We should contact the Make-A-Wish Foundation and ask.
Cam's got a gold bowling ball in his stomach.
I don't know if anyone else can make it happen, but I think it would be gold. That if I was the goalie and you were the defenseman, and Connor McDavid comes in full speed, like on a break,
try to take him out.
Well, yeah, he just spins, goes around you. You fall on your ass, and then I don't know. He makes me look ridiculously stupid.
You used to play basketball, but that's another thing. Those guys this isn't Keith Van Horn at the 3-on-3 tournament here. Did your buddy go up to Keith Van Horn and get into it? You guys are the dirtiest team I've ever seen.
It's a true story. It's kind of embarrassing. We were at the NBA Hoop It Up, and it's a competition, and
it was
like
good competition
and stuff, and we weren't very good, but it was in the heyday of like the Knicks, right?
You guys were the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, so we actually wore like New York Knick uniforms. I'll be honest with you. I just had the Knicks shorts.
The Knicks shorts are nice.
I had the Knicks shorts and a Pimps, Players, and Hustlers t-shirt, like with this NBA logo. And but we did everything that basically is like everything that I complain about players doing. Like when I see like LeBron stepped on someone's ankle deliberately, I'm like, man, that's so push league. I'm like, man, that was my go-to move.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was like one of my go-to moves. All kinds. Like we'd push people in the back. I have very bony elbows.
Yeah, nice and sharp.
I'm not afraid to use them.
File them.
Oh, yeah. I'd always be swinging elbows.
Love a sharp elbow.
Accidentally swinging an elbow, Cam. You know what I'm saying?
Rebound
so,
jaw.
Yeah, so basically, well, I told the story, actually, man. I actually slapped this dude in the face, man. This brother, he wasn't too happy. And he told me, I'm going to get you. He told me, I'm going to get you. On the next play, he punched me in the nose, and he broke my nose.
Wow.
My nose was all wobbly.
You got a little couple bends there. Like, man.
Yeah, it was wobbly, and the blood was dripping out. And you know what I did? I drank my blood. I gargled it, and I spit it at his feet. And I said, let's ball. I said, let's ball. Let's go. Let's ball. And that's when Keith Van Horn intervened.
Oh, yeah. He's like, this is getting out of control.
Keith Van Horn was called over. And he was the
ambassador.
He was the ambassador of the NBA.
The 3-on-3 tournament. Yes, I remember. He used to do the commercials. Hi, come meet me, yeah. Keith Van Horn.
Well, each city has like a different NBA guy there, right?
Exactly.
So Keith Van Horn was there where we were there when he was on the Nets.
Oh, man.
And so he's bitching at us. And my buddy says to Keith Van Horn in front of like everyone, Keith Van Horn's there. And he's like, you guys go against the spirit of what the NBA Hoop It Up stands for. He goes, it's supposed to be just a fun competition. And my buddy goes, you were really good at Utah, man, but you've been a big bust in the NBA, bro. Van Horn just looks.
Thanks, buddy.
And walks away. Later in the same day, one of my teammates took a basketball. Didn't like the call, right? There's referee, man. He didn't like the call. He punted the basketball like a football, except it bounced like through other people's courts and stuff.
Yeah, interrupted their game.
Yeah, yeah. Like we were like
you guys were a disgrace to the tournament.
Yeah,
as Keith Van Horn said,
I brought out the worst in us.
Always like that, though, because I played men's league hockey. You always get that goof that still thinks he still got it. Like, my buddy's on defense. He's a string bean. He just rips off his helmets, beats the crap out of him.
You know what our problem was,
Kim? Now we have to get in a fight in a men's league game.
You know what our problem was? We were too tall. We were getting put in too elite of competition.
Yeah.
There's 24 levels at an NBA Hoop It Up, starting with 1, the tights. 2, you know what I mean? Media stooge 12. You know what I mean?
Media. It's like, I want to go in the media stooge team. Stooge. I'll like, just.
There's different like levels. You know what I'm saying?
Media stooge. 24 levels is a lot.
And we were in level 17.
That's which pretty good.
Yeah, which is just a little too high.
Yeah.
I'm not a level 17
You're above media stooge at 12? How about we put you in the 14, 15
hole? No, it makes a big difference. Put it this way, dude. I played against a guy that played at Florida Atlantic. What the hell am I getting?
College players?
Dude, the guy, they beat a 16-4. It was first to 16. We lost 16-4 to these guys. No, I think it was 16-2. And they trash talked us so much, and I actually tripped the dude. This dude, man, they called him 250 because he weighed 250 pounds. I tripped the guy, and he said, if you did that to me on the street, I'd kill you. So if I tell you the real story, we played these three white guys, and they were all nice before. They were like, oh, man, we're just here for fun. Let's have some fun. We haven't played. They take off their tracksuits, man. They got, like, matching uniforms. They're doing box out, pick and rolls. Like, they're fundamental white guys. Cam, they beat us, like, 16-4, all right? It was embarrassing. It was our first ever game in the NBA Hoop It Up. I was like, holy shit, man. Like, we're out of place here. Like, we shouldn't have even come. This is embarrassing. 16-4. Then we watch these guys play these black guys. The brothers beat them 16-4. Then we had to play the brothers.
You got smoked.
We were like, oh, man. No.
You played better against them?
I played the game of my life. I went full street, started elbowing, tripping, talking smack. We lost 16-8. All right.
Respectable.
Gave us a little confidence. I told the dudes after, the brothers after, I said, I'll see you on Sunday in the finals. Buddy started laughing. He goes, man, if you see you Sunday in the finals, man, he goes, then, I'll lose 100 pounds. And they're all laughing at me and stuff like that. We made it to the finals.
You did.
Yeah. We scratched, fought, clawed. And this is what I'm not proud of. It was first to 16 or 20 minutes. We milked the clock.
Smart.
We got up. We got stuck at like 12. We milked the clock for a good 9 minutes.
Good strategy.
They actually filed a complaint.
With Keith Van Horn?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm pretty much banned from the NBA Hoop It Up. They stopped doing it. Probably because of people like me.
Exactly.
I'm giving this guy a choice, Cam. All right? This is the definition of a fighter. I'll fight you anywhere, anytime. Yep. Giving him a choice. We can play tennis in Las Vegas, August 24th through 26th. We can play in Vancouver, mid-July, or we can play in Toronto in early August.
As your radio co-host and friend, I'm going to tell you, I think you want him on Toronto. I don't like that because Vancouver, you're going away, you meet people, drinks get involved. Yeah, exactly. And in Vegas, once you start the daiquiri train in Vegas, I saw you before. Where's the bottles? We were shaking that guy down in Nicky Six's bar. Sorry, what was it? Vince Beale, the other guy. But anyway, I think they ran out of daiquiri mix with us. So you got to play, you know what? You need to be hydrated. You
got to
play him here.
Vince Neil
in the Vegas. Oh,
his car?
Yeah, he lent his car. He lent his car to Marchessault for the day. He goes, don't worry, buddy. Just get a win. And then you see Marchessault pull up in the car before the game. Like, I got to hand it to Vince Neil there.
He's got the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah. It's the Vegas Golden Knights supercar, man. It's actually beautiful.
You know, he paid for that?
How much?
How he paid for that?
How?
All the drinks that we bought at his car.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all those daiquiris.
At least the customizing and the decals and stuff.
Don Johnson paid for that decal.
Shout out to Don Johnson out there. Hey, don't worry, guys. You don't have to get on your plane. Let's party.
Yeah, Don.
I love that guy. The best is I love partying with him, and every time we're talking and stuff, I love a guy who rolls in with headphones. He's like, hey, and he'd put on some Rolling Stones. I'm like, yeah, this is nice. He just loved to rock the headphones and the classic rock in the sports book.
Yeah, that's great. We're hanging in the sports book. This guy's watching the game. So he's got headphones on, but he's talking, but he's rocking to the headphones at the same time. Yeah, listen to this.
You
got to
hand it to Don Johnson, though. He just met you, and I remember you were like, can I borrow a couple $100? Hey, anything for you, buddy. He's like, I wish people would be like that with the horse. Like, he was giving money away. He was. Yeah. I got to hand it to Don Johnson. Very generous.
No, you're right. Him and Sonny Vega both saved me because if you recall.
I recall everything.
I wanted to get a bet in, But I had all my money in tickets.
It's all tied up in the Michigan game.
And I said, all right, listen, and look, remember the game? I was like, look, man, I need 8 points in 4 minutes here. It's going over the number. So I said, can I get the 200 now, and I'll give you the ticket.
Yeah. Donnie Johnson.
The best is poor Don Johnson comes up to me after. He goes, the ticket only paid 182.
He's the best.
So, yeah, sorry, Don. Sorry. Yeah, we'll go here. Here's the extra 20. But we've got our own problems because even though I feel bad for DeMar DeRozan makes $25 million a year.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Dude's got $168 million.
I don't feel bad for him.
So
you lost. You got beat up. You're a professional athlete with a big wallet.
If anybody should feel bad for anybody, you should feel bad for me and Cam and all the other owners of Conflict Diamond, our racehorse.
We're getting fleeced.
It's pretty much our horse is a lot like the Raptors going into last night. We're down 3-0. The effort seems to be getting worse and worse. We want to fire trainers, coaches. Like, we've already done it. We've already changed. That's the equivalent. Like, we've changed barns. You know what I mean?
Our horse is not even worth the value of, like, an 88 Ford Tempo. He used to be kind of a mid-range Camry. Like around 11,000, you know, he can get you around town. Now he's a junker. It's brutal.
Yeah, so
he's got no legs.
To put this bluntly, yeah, we have a $10,500 horse that probably another $7,000 to $8,000 was sunk into.
Correct.
And we now have an offer for about a quarter of that.
I feel bad for the other investors. Like, guys, you know what I mean? Like, these guys ponied up the cash. Well, we're not getting anything for the pony.
This really is, like, the worst thing that I've ever been involved with.
Yeah. Basically, the way I look at it, it was almost like a story we see on American Greed where we met a guy at, like, a golf tournament. And, oh, wait, I got a can't-miss business venture you guys are in. But the difference between that is he only hits us once. The horse hits us every Tuesday and Sunday night.
We got a better chance of going to a carny carnival.
Yeah, grifter club, yeah.
And with dealing with carnies and tossing, like, rings.
Ring toss,
stuff.
Yeah. Hey, the bowling ball that stays up on the ramp. Big basketball, little hoop.
The horse racing industry is a bottomless pit of despair
for us. Then you see other families that just keep on raking
it. So basically it's like the bet. It's like the cash out option. We can cash out for 25% right now, or we can hang on and hope that our team comes back miraculously and wins. Yet, even if he comes back and wins, his value will only really go up
to like 5,000, yeah. 55 tops.
Maybe 6.
Hate to say it.
It's not like, you know, because he runs one race, people are going to be running to us. Oh, I'll give you $8,000 right now.
Doesn't work like that.
No.
We're out, Gabe.
All these other owners of these horses have their own problems.
And remember, the thing that you brought up to me earlier when the conversation got even more depressing. If his knee hurts and he doesn't run, we still, even though we have a better deal with the stable we're at now, we still got to pay this guy. When he doesn't run for the week, we get nothing. And then we still got to pay this guy because he's got to live to eat and hang out with his horse buddies.
Well, the horse racing industry
blows.
I think we're about to break up with you.
Well, gone was the day. We had one beautiful night.
Yeah.
When we didn't go to the race to get the picture. It would have been the one thing we could have. It would have been a $4,000 picture of me, you, and the gang and the horse. We didn't go. The only races we went to is when he finished sixth. God, we're such idiots.
Yeah, we never saw him
win that one race by 9 lengths. Gary Guy was going bananas, and Conflict Diamond pulls away.
I think I saw him finish in fourth place, maybe.
Yeah, fourth and sixth.
Yeah. Like you said, we won one race.
We weren't there.
And, we'll always have that memory, but I'd rather have the money than the memory.
So would I.
I know. What? Like the memory.
An extra $6,500? Give me the money.
Yeah, the memory doesn't equate the money.
Resort, party there. Resort. Yeah. Never been there. We've been to Mike Ditka's resort, though, in Orlando.
Yeah, quite the resort.
Quite the resort. Every home looks, it's basically.
They use the term resort very, very loosely.
They sure do. The best is how the staff all have Ditka shirts. And the best is when we went around, like, it is the craziest place because every single villa looks the same. Like, it's the exact same kitchenette look. Like, if you get, we were only there for, like, one night, and we had to find each other, like, 500 units, man. It was like finding a needle in a haystack.
It would take a lot for me to go back to Orlando.
I agree. Like, somebody would have to pay for us. Yeah, I'm like, not paying one cent
there. Even if you had, like, free whatever, free trip there, I'd be like, eh.
If you make a free hit trip and hotel, I'd go back. I think we can make it work. We can go to a UCF game, have some fun.
Yeah, but you're right.
I'm not paying out of my own pocket to go back
point.
To Orlando.
We weren't in downtown Orlando.
No, we were in the sticks.
Yeah.
Like that one bar that we went to when we were basically flagging down rides that we couldn't get. And when I got jacked at the walk-in drive-through by the cops because they wouldn't let me in the restaurant. I don't know what you're supposed to do then. If the restaurant's locked but they're still serving in the drive-through, I should not have been put in the car.
If anybody's tuning in right now from Orlando, tell us, like, if it's true or not. Like, does Orlando really suck that hard, or are we wrong? Yeah, we could be wrong. Like, we were there for one night.
I'm going to be honest with you. We had fun with Coach Ditka. When you interviewed and stuff, we had some good laughs.
Yeah, but that was on a golf course.
Actually, it was resort. Because our boss didn't pay for the tickets to get us to the golf course in time. We were late for the tournament.
Yeah. Well, Ditka shut down the tournament early, too. It was too hot.
Man, you saw Ditka's face. That's where we learned the trick. Actually, Mike Ditka taught us one thing about the cold ice towel. Because his face was, like, more purple than mine. Like, it was a different shade of Cabernet Sauvignon. Like, he came back from that golf course game. I looked at Ditka. I'm like, he's going to blow. Like, he was purple. And then, man, that sun really beat him down.
It is one thing, though, that, we can at least take to our grave. We could say, you know, we got drunk with Mike Ditka.
We did.
Not a lot of people can say that.
I agree. I think it's
a lot of people that would love. Imagine, like, a diehard Bear fan would love to get drunk with Mike Ditka.
Well, when you were interviewing, remember all the handlers, like, all the people were like, yeah, it was just, like, kind of a crazy situation because the coach was, like, kind of, like, drunk and beat down and Morenci was on fire and you were talking about those old Bear sweaters that they used to have. And remember his handlers were like, yeah, I like this guy. I like this bald guy here. Like, they were going wild for you. We were all wasted. The drinks were flowing. I'm going to tell you, for a few hours or Orlando was a lot of fun until we left the area.
Yeah, but we went to the nearest bar, some little strip mall.
Yeah, we didn't get the taste of the real Orlando.
No, I'm sure like Orlando, it's got to be better than
we've been harsh to it because we haven't seen the good part.
But we also didn't really have a great time in Miami, Florida either.
No, we didn't.
You're 0-2.
Like, I love
Coney,
like in Jacksonville, but Florida's been rough to us. You're right. Like, we've done like a lot of trips.
We've done Miami and Orlando.
They're not our type of places.
Yeah, neither of them I'm in a rush to go back to.
I agree.
Like, to be honest.
I know.
It's too bad, too, because it's cheap to get to Florida.
I know.
And the weather's nice.
And I'll tell you,
but
living in Florida is cheap, too.
I know. Problem is, it's Florida.
Listen, man. Richard Griffin, our buddy, goes down for the Blue Jays spring training, right? Lisa met him down there. They were staying at Bars Morenci. $1 drinks.
I know.
$1.50 happy hour, $2. Like, they're giving food and drink away. She says you couldn't even, like, you can couldn't even walk for under $50. $10 a drink
if
here. $12 a drink.
If I was going to move to Florida, I
Jacksonville?
Think, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's my uncle lives outside of Tampa.
Tampa Bay. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. You've got the Rays,
Lightning. A lot of things you can do.
It's like the home of death metal and heavy metal. Like, they're into heavy metal there. There's more strip clubs in Tampa Bay than there are churches, actually, per capita. It's like the strip club capital of America.
Tampa Bay's racy.
Yeah, so exactly. It's the pirate. They have like a pirate parade.
Yar. I like that.
You go drink the gruel.
Oh, the grog.
Yeah, the gruel and the grog.
Give me some grog.
Yeah, all that type of stuff. Eat gruel and drink grog.
That's right. Eat gruel, drink grog. That was Tapper when we went to the bar. She's like, screw you,
He's
Tapper.
Like, are you serving gruel?
Yeah, grog.
Grog and gruel. The hell is this?
That's the best. He shut them down. It was a pirate bar, and he turned it into a corporate bar. She goes, screw you, Tapper. A week later, back to the pirate bar.
Yeah, she went back to the pirate bar.
They went bankrupt.
I like, though, Tapper gets his revenge at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, I see they didn't listen to me. And he goes, and I heard they're living in her mother's basement. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm Red Heat. He's Rage.
Yeah.
We're both stupid idiots.
Yeah, we got to. When you give yourself the Barry Horowitz pat on the back, I got to give myself the Ice Cold Loser Award for Dylan Bundy last night. That was fun. I'm coming back on the train. I thought it was like a misprint. I'm 10-0 Royals after the first.
Yeah, I was
no outs. He gone.
I was on Dylan Bundy last night as well.
Oh, God, man. But hey.
Coming off the heels of course, me liking.
That could have been the worst DFS, like,
coming
individual
off the heels,
ever.
Of course, of me liking Homer Bailey earlier in the week.
Normally,
listen, I don't pretend to be the best Major League Baseball DFS expert.
It's tough.
Normally, my pitching selections are very rock solid. Like, I always find those diamonds in a rough for cheap that everyone laughs at and seven strikeouts and one run earned only. But last night it backfired, and I believe Dylan Bundy actually wasn't just bad, Cam. He was, like, historically bad last night, and it was actually bothering me all night. Like, I was actually embarrassed. Number one, that I didn't bet. I think you did bet on the Mariners.
Yeah, I did.
Number two, that we didn't give James Paxton. Coming off the 16K,
we talked about it too.
Yeah, we talked about it.
We didn't pull the trigger. No, James Paxton was amazing.
We talked about it. So Dylan Bundy gives up a modern baseball record, four home runs in the first inning. You or I could do that.
Yeah, no. Do you? There was a stat that said.
You know what? I think. Well, I don't know. I couldn't get through an inning, though. I was going to say they wouldn't be able to hit four home runs off of me because I wouldn't give them pitches to hit. Like, I'd be bouncing balls. That'd be like.
I got to be honest with you. We could only probably throw about 60 something anyway.
Yeah.
So they're going to look at it, and once they get a time for it, I hate to say it, Marenzi, we would. I don't think we'd record it out. It would have to be like he'd have to like just miss it a bit. Like, it'd have to be pure luck.
Like, I'd have to line drive it right at somebody.
Like, remember our boy Cohen says he could get a hit off that softball chick when you did that test?
That didn't work out.
No,
well
it didn't work out. So I'm not willing to go on the air and say we could get somebody out. I don't think we can.
Remember in the old days, we used to actually get things done. We'd say, you know, we should do something like that, and we actually did
do it. And filmed it.
Yeah, we actually did it.
Exactly.
I don't know if you heard the... You heard the story, Cam, that broke last night about Matt Patricia, the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
My former Patriots coordinator, Beard?
Yeah,
Beard?
I don't know why they hired the dude in the first place.
He's actually, like, I hate to say this, he kind of looks too, like, when you look at the other coaches, like Thomas Sulu, like, you know, like, kind of greasier and whatever. Like, Matt Patricia just kind of looks like he should be living in a trailer park, not coaching the Detroit Lions. Is that too rough? Or he just doesn't look like a football coach to me.
Well, I don't know, man. He might not be coaching the Detroit Lions very long, though.
He looks like just a hipster you'd see at like a bakery. You know, he's good with the big beard. I don't know what's going on.
All right. So if you guys are unaware, Lions coach Matt Patricia, it was a story last night. We're part of the Me Too movement right now, man. And
touchy-touchy.
Not only touchy-touchy, but he was actually charged with sexual assault.
Really?
Charged the Detroit Lions have put their full support behind head coach Matt Patricia, but admitted they failed to uncover a sexual assault allegation against him when researching his background. And he never told him about it. The charge stems from an allegation against Patricia when he was in college in 1996.
That's a long time ago.
It never went to court after the alleged victim said she could not face the pressures and stress of a trial. The victim claims that she was basically assaulted by Matt Patricia and two of his friends in a hotel room on spring break.
Wow. In when? 1996?
Yeah.
We're in 2018. Like, that's 24 years later, though. You're bringing these, and it just happens before, like, the NFL season's going to start a couple months before. It's kind of interesting timing.
It's the type of thing, though, that you probably
need to distance yourself from.
No, you got to disclose.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
You're not Donald Trump. You don't get to keep secrets.
No, you're Matt Patricia.
Well, you know, when they're hiring you, it's like, listen, like, is there any sort of...
Skeletons in your closet?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
You just say, listen, you tell them, no, there was no one in charge. There was an allegation, but it never went to court, right? And it was this time ago.
Basically, Marenzi, you're saying, though, just put your cards out on the table. It's probably better for you in the long run, even though it's going to suck.
The team said that it did investigate It did investigate his information, but they only looked to see if he had a criminal conviction. However, it turns out it only takes 30 seconds to look at a public records database to see Matt Patricia's name comes up. So he's in the system. Like, at a press conference, Matt Patricia appeared to suggest the Detroit News reporting was the personal attack. I find it unfair and upsetting that someone would bring up this claim over two decades later for the sole purpose of hurting me and my family. I was innocent then, and I'm innocent now. Patricia then would not comment on whether he had sex with the alleged victim and did not clarify whether he had told the Lions or not, or his previous team, the New England Patriots. Well, the Patriots don't care.
Exactly.
As far as the interview process is concerned, there was nothing I didn't answer. Yeah, so in other words, you didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
All right, a joint statement from the Lions. They're saying... his case was dismissed by the prosecutor at the request of a complaining individual prior to the trial. As a result, Coach Patricia never had the opportunity to present his case or clear his name publicly in a court of law. He was denied there was any factual basis for the charge. There was never a settlement or an agreement with the complaining individual. No money was ever exchanged. There is no confidentiality agreement. All right.
I'll tell you. It's one of those things, man. It sounds like you could accuse you can accuse somebody of something, doing something like that many years ago. I hate to say it, Morency. They don't really have they have no case. By the sounds of things here, like the person did not ask for any they never went to a trial, no package, no anything, right? You know what I mean? Like you might not like the man or whatever, and that's the thing with the Me Too movement. If you're a bad guy and you do stuff to women, I want to see you do hard time, but. Like, a lot of the time, people are coming out with vendettas and putting people in really bad situations, man. Like, you got to get the whole story before you want to ruin somebody's life. I don't really think that's cool if you don't know the whole thing. Like, I can't even really make a comment because we weren't there.
That's the whole thing.
I'm not going to make a comment. Always... So, yeah, like, look, we don't know. Was he greasy with the girl? Was she wasted and said, hey, let's party? Like, I have no idea what's going on, right? So these things are very delicate.
Are we live?
We're live, buddy.
Are we live?
Are we?
Are we? I got to tell you, man.
What an hour, man! We got people locked in the underground parking lot. I don't know. Sorry, I haven't been at the studio in a while, but yeah,
it's been quite a 12 to 16 hour run here at Melrose Place Studios.
And smoke coming out your ears, and in the computer ports.
I don't even know where to start.
But you're handling it better, buddy.
Am I? I'm pacing.
I know, yeah.
For those of you who are wondering right now, like I am not, I'm not sitting down. I'm actually sort of standing and
got the shakes.
I'm pacing like Dwayne Casey used to before he got fired.
Exactly.
Poor guy. But nevertheless, you know what? Dwayne Casey's going to be just fine.
Because
Dwayne Casey's not in the computer hell that I'm in. So we all know about the Apple, the MacBook Pro, the legendary MacBook Pro that's been producing top quality content that hasn't won me an award anywhere, but it's been top quality content nevertheless, award winning in my own mind. It's been a magical computer. Now, the thing with Apple is, it's not, you know, the Apple, the hardware is good, but basically, I'm too metal for Apple, literally and figuratively. So, what happened was, we've been wondering, the last two Apples that we've had, we went to the Apple shop this morning. And it turns out that they've been overheated to the point where there's molten metal inside.
Like lava in the computer. It's hot.
Yeah, the mag port, the magnetic port has been singed.
Magma.
So the guy tells me, he goes, well, you know, I said, you know, well, it's singed. I said, you guys are selling like, you're selling toys here, man. He's like, oh, well, you know, you must have leave it in plugged in too long. I said, I leave it in plugged in too long because if it's not plugged in, then the battery dies. He's like, do you mind if I ask what you do for a living? Like, well, what does that matter, what I do for a living? What the hell does that mean? I swear to God, man, I've given my password this. Like, the only thing they haven't gotten for me is like a DNA sample, these people today. I've gone through Google, Skype, password, this. So anyways, the MacBook Pro, it's not dead. It's in a coma. It's $174 to revive. And, yeah, I thought it, yeah. So, basically, I thought I was going to have a heart attack last night. It just basically melted and died. Except, like I stated, it could be revived for $200 7 days from now. Well, we can't go 7 days without having a computer now, can we? So, you know, being Johnny on the ball, I wake up early in the morning. I'm the first one at the Apple store to see if I can salvage the computers. If not, and I told the guy, I'm like, I need a computer now. He's like, well, you want me to show you some? I'm like, God, no. I'm like, no, I'm getting the hell out of this Apple store. So I end up with this this new HP.
Yeah.
Hewlett Packard.
Yeah, I know Hewlett Packard, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. Aren't they like bankrupt now? Didn't that ugly chick, Carly Fiorina, like put him out of business? Well, I'm just saying what Donald Trump said. Who's going to vote for a face like that? It was like they bring Carly Fiorina, that chick, on like shows for like expert advice. Like, exactly. Chick's lost more to Cleveland Browns.
Exactly.
He's never won an election, ran HP into the ground. So nevertheless, this HP computer is actually, I don't know. You know, we just got it a couple hours ago.
Hey.
So we got the computer a couple hours ago, and I'm very concerned. Very, very concerned. And we'll get to the fact that I never have a chick here, and suddenly I've had a chick here for the last 72 hours, which happened to be the most stressful 72 hours pretty much of the 47 years of my life. All right, so, and oh, yeah, she just got locked in a parking garage.
Yeah, I
called me in a sheer panic at about 4:01 as we're starting a radio show that wasn't starting. What's this, the 13th time we bumped Steve Merrill on this show? What is it,
every damn Friday?
I told you before. I've said it again. I'll say it a million times. Fridays suck. If you like Friday, you suck.
Friday's becoming quickly the worst
Friday's
day of the week.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Look at for you. Friday, big party. You got to run around in traffic. You got to run down to Oakley, pimp some pizza.
I know. Yeah, yeah. The check's not good. You know, I got more problems.
Yeah, so... Hey, I'm like,
at least helped her out of the. I got the concierge to get her out of the underground. So that was good.
My deal is like, listen, all that matters is we do the radio show at 4:00 today. I don't care what it costs. And for the record, this cost me $400. All right. Like, I got this.
I gotta
computer
be honest with you,
to do this show today.
$400
pretty good
machine. I know what I'm.
So far, well, let's not praise this thing. That's okay. Like giving a quarter. That's like giving Ryan Fitzpatrick a $25 million contract because he beat the Jets. All right, let's not praise this HP too much yet. All right, it's caused me a lot of grief already, to be honest. So, listen, I go to the store this morning shopping for a computer. I hate shopping. I hate people. I hate malls. I hate stores. I hate society. All right? So there I am in society in a damn Apple store at 10 in the morning. Yeah, because that's where Gabriel Morenci wants to be. Oh, yeah, that was great. So I go get this HP Packard computer, and I'm like, does it do this? Does it do that? I'm dealing with like a 19-year-old chick, man. Like, she can't even get a drink in a bar, let alone tell me about this computer. So I call her a bluff. I'm like, listen, I need to know. So I basically told her, listen, we're doing a video right now. Yeah. She's standing there. I actually did a video with her in the store. I'm like, I'm kicking it with this chick here at Best Buy. And I said, I want to see it work with the audio. So it did work. I'm like, all right, you did a great job. Did a great job. And she's like, oh, anything, you know. So far, so good. I get the computer. I get back home. First things we got to do, you guys that tune in here, We're often in different cities. Yep. There's massive control and different guests are everywhere. Everywhere's different. So, and how do we sound so crystal clear like a radio remote? Because of the system that George has. Our boy George, great guy. He's got a great remote system, but it's a little tricky. Got to download it.
Yep.
You know, got to go through a lot of things.
You need pros to go through that thing.
Yeah, but George is a pro. The guy should be a kindergarten teacher. He walks like he could walk a monkey across a highway.
I got to be honest with you, Morenci, my $20 computer, it needs George's touch.
Your $20 computer needs to be thrown off my balcony. It's a piece of crap.
Slow down. It's
no, that's
all
we're going to get to your computer in a minute. That thing sucks. Yeah. Hard. All right?
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does. It just does.
I tried to help.
It just does. I know you did. I appreciate it. All right, so I get the HP Packard. I get it back here, and I'm like, all right, we got to get this program downloaded for the radio show. People already think I'm an idiot that my computer blew up in the middle of a podcast last night. So I got to, you know, I'm like, man, Cardano's going to have a heart attack, this guy. I'm like, I was thinking of you, Mike. I'm like, you know, and Lou Mahone. I'm like, what's going on with Morenci? This guy's melting down. He's throwing vacuum cleaners, and now he's not even on the air because his computers keep breaking. So I'm like, all right, we're getting a new computer. You know, we're on top of this. Shelled out 460, whatever the hell. No, it was 400. 350 plus the tax, plus transportation.
Oh, yeah.
And effort. All right. So I get the computer. I'm like, all right, we got to get this program. So we coordinate it with George in Boston, and George's on top of it. Great guy.
Yep.
Boom. We get through it. Bam. It's a pleasant conversation. With George.
Nice and smooth.
Took about 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
I really need to talk to George.
Like Trump says, some locker room talk. You just don't touch that computer.
That's another thing. Now the sound's back.
Cam's looking for like the golf leaderboard. Now he's got like videos.
I was talking like story about Blake Bortles.
Pretty loud.
Blake Bortles.
Somebody's trying to stole his truck. Don't worry about Blake Bortles, right? Got our own problems here. It's like Dwayne Casey. Don't worry about him. I'm about to have a heart attack here. Dwayne Casey's fine. He's got a nice wife. He's got money. He's got a house. What the hell do I have?
Exactly.
I got an ex-girlfriend that's locked in a
underground.
Locked in a park.
I got to be honest with you. That concierge handled it quite well, too. I gave him my number. We went down. Everything went nice and smooth.
So I get the computer back. Everything's fine, but you can't log into anything, dude. Skype won't let me in. Gmail, Google. Oh, you got a verify that.
I just went into my Gmail and it's got your face in my portrait right now.
I'm getting text messages and code this and code that to sign in. Someone's trying to sign in. It's like every time you get a new computer, do you have to go through this crap?
Yeah, you do.
So I got to go through all this crap. I'm really, 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 really getting upset. I log into YouTube. Dude, I've been on YouTube for years. I was on YouTube last night. All right, go to YouTube. They're like, welcome to YouTube. I'm like, what do you mean welcome to YouTube? Like, what difference does it make if I'm on a new computer? I'm in my account.
Exactly.
And it says, since you're on a new device, what the hell does that mean? I must wait 24 hours to use YouTube. So that basically nearly put me over the top.
Yep.
As you know, Cam came in here and basically you heard me. Nothing like spending an hour and a half on a conference call with a dude from Costa Rica that's breathing very heavily and coughing into my ear.
Actually, he did. Like usually you give me the sign to flip the mic. That guy sounded like he was on a respirator. That was some hard breathing. That was sexual breathing.
Yeah. And I'm telling this guy.
Sexual breathing.
And it was the same crap. He's telling me, download this and you got to do this for that. And I'm like, dude, I got to go. I'm like, I got a radio show to do in a couple of minutes. I got to go. Right? So I'm really about to snap at this point. Like, I'm actually starting to shake.
But it's not over yet.
Like, it's not even like, you know, not this isn't even joke rage or like funny rage or anything like that. This is like, I was already on the verge of having like a meltdown, like, yeah, I'm on the edge.
That's the thing.
I'm on the edge.
I could tell like when you're raging or whatever, but it's different now because you got the shakes. Like when your hands, like basically you look like a guy that like used to drink like a couple 40s a day that got off the sauce. And now you're like, oh my God, help me. Like I've never seen a man shake.
I think I could fight in a UFC right now.
Yeah.
Like if I was ever going to be in the cage, now, I'd be like, somebody said, Morenci, you're up. If you want the fight in 5 minutes, you're in. I'd be like, all right, let's just go.
I agree.
Let's just do this.
I see you going hard for like a good minute and just going bonkers.
I'd get killed. Yeah. I'd come in here. Yeah. Come on, I get killed. No, all right, so.
But that's not the best part of the story. You didn't finish when you got off the phone from Costa Rica. Right, then what happens? Your phone's going.
My phone, so.
Like 30 times.
My mom with Costa Rica. My phone starts like blowing up like crazy. It's like the show MASH. Like the old thing. Like 32 text messages in a row.
Morse code.
And it's making a sound. And I looked at Cam and I was like, I'm about to blow, bro. And I was about to throw the phone off the balcony type of thing. And we got the radio show to do. Basically, 2 minutes away, my phone's blowing up. I'm going to do it on Costa Rica. Now, listen, we already tested the system earlier in the day.
Thumbs up?
Thumbs up. It was fine. Well, dude, it was a pleasant experience with George. Bam! We were on the air. You know, long story short, the moral of the story is everything's Florio's fault. It's all your fault, Mike. But no, I'm kidding. Poor Flores. It's not his fault.
He's doing the best he can. We're all getting beat down, buddy. Yeah, yeah. It's constant.
Mike Flores is crazy.
Hey, we're Bills fans. We can't betray each other.
No, you said it, Flory. I don't know what me and
that Brett, saves you.
I don't know what we did as human beings. Like I'm helping the people in underground parking lots, holding the door for old ladies, and just we can't catch a break these days. I don't know what's going on.
Somebody said to me about an hour ago, Mike, is there anybody else in the room with better IT knowledge than you? I was about to jump through the screen and like kill the guy.
The answer's not me.
I told the guy. I said, "Listen, it's not IT knowledge, all right? It's the damn all right." So yeah, we were good to go. And finally, so after all this, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown, complete like breakdown. Cam's here. I have a lady friend that's here that I haven't seen in years. It just popped up in a pop-in surprise visit.
Surprise!
Here for the last 2-3 days.
Yes. Yes.
Just to add to my chaos, she decides to leave, like, basically as the show's starting. It's like, I'm, like, in a full panic mode. She's like, all right, see you. I'm going to go now. It's like
she was very lovely to you. She could tell you were stressed out. She actually was caring.
Yeah. So it was just bad timing.
Yeah. 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 No, like stressful timing.
Yeah, it's bad timing. So she splits. We start the radio. We're about to start the radio show. And then suddenly there's a technical difficulty. Yeah. Suddenly there's a technical difficulty. Out of the blue, there's another technical. It's not even on us. But people, of course, online. Ooh, Morenci.
Yeah.
If anyone says anything about me online right now, I swear to God, I'm going to ban you, I'm going to block you, and I'm going to find out your address.
I got to be honest with you, too. What are the odds of somebody leaving at that time and getting locked in an underground parking lot?
Yeah, but you got to understand, this girl gets rattled easily. So she leaves.
How's the voice?
We're starting the show. I'm like, all right, we're going to do the show now, whatever. We're doing the radio show. We're ready to go. Cam's like, is the system good to go? Mike Cardano's going to step in a second. Yeah. Is the system good to go? Are we good? New computer? I'm like, we're good to go, man. I spoke to George earlier. Hell, I even did a test run. If anyone's wondering, like Mike Cardano, why did you guys didn't do a test? I did. I called in. Asked Carton's guy, Chris. I spoke to the boys earlier in the day.
Smooth.
I called in at like 12:30, 1 o'clock. Hey, guys, just wanted to do an early test to make sure everything was all right. He's like, you sound great. I was like, thanks, man. Yeah, we'll be ready at 4. See you later, guys. And then
chaos.
Yeah, and then of course, then my phone rings 32 times in a row. It's my ex-girlfriend who's basically in near tears because she's locked in my condo parking garage, trapped. I'm freaking trapped. You got to come down. I know you have your show right now, but you can't. You told me I wouldn't get trapped in here. All weekend she's been bitching about getting trapped in a parking garage. She ends up getting trapped down there.
Send me.
So, yeah, Cam's like, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I got to start
either.
The show.
We got to get her out of here.
And then I'm discussing with Florio, and he goes, listen, we have some static issues right now. He goes, are you on Skype? I said, yeah, I'm on Skype. And the next thing I know, the show starts. It's like, dude, I don't have any mics.
What's going on? Like,
oh, yeah, it was quite the adventure. But
listen to Game Time Decisions every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.